You ready? So we have our lighting of the candles. Hopefully when we light them, it reminds you of the peace and joy and love and that's supposed to be on this time of the year. Go ahead.
As we light the fourth candle of this Advent wreath, we are to be reminded of God's boundless love. The light of this candle is to shine brightly as a symbol of love. He has shown us through His Son, Jesus Christ. We are to let it fill our hearts with God's love and let it help us to love one another as He has loved us.
Yes, thank you. Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." You're probably wondering what that has to do with Christmas, right? We don't normally use those kind of verses at this time of year. But, you know, if you think about the wise men, that's exactly what they were doing. They came to seek Jesus, just like many people do today and have throughout history. What people are looking for is something in their life, that light to guide them. They seek it in many ways. Psychics, advice from shrinks, if you will, family members, whatever. People are always looking for something to help guide them. They don't always take the advice they're given, but they're looking. And many of them don't realize that Jesus is that light that they're looking for. In fact, He's the perfect light. And that's why it's important to think about asking and seeking and knocking at this time of the year. Because when you think about how long those wise men spent to travel hundreds and hundreds of miles and finally get to that place and then see that baby that they came to worship, it all makes sense. That's what the world is supposed to do, to seek and save the Messiah. Not to save the Messiah, but to seek Him so that they can be saved. Sometimes it takes a little bit more than seeking. It takes knocking. Matthew 2:1-12, it gives us the biblical account of the wise men. I mean, we sing about them at Christmas, right? So why not pay a little bit more attention to what they came to be about? It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all his chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ would be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And they sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now, I noticed some things in there that lend itself to some questions, like, I thought they were in a stable and not a house. But it took them at least a year and a half to get there, so Jesus was older, and I'm sure by then, all of the people that were there for the census, many of them had left, so there was room for them to find a place to stay. But we sing of the three kings from the Orient, but they're not kings, really. They're wise men. Wise men, the Greeks call them magi. So we get the word magic from that. But they're not magicians. They are intellectual wise men. They were scholars of the Orient. So they kind of had an idea what they were doing. They probably came from the region where the kingdoms of Persia and Babylon were, up in the northwest corner. If it's corner, it's kind of rounded, but of the Persian Gulf. Okay, you know what happened a few thousand years before that? Abraham was called out of Ur from that area. And they traveled into Mesopotamia. Then they traveled down to Canaan. But also, when the Israelites were taken out of Judea, they were taken over to Babylon, which isn't too far from that area. And so they lived there for, I don't know, we know they come back in 70 years, but they didn't all come back. So many of them might have still been descendants anyway in that area. So they would have had knowledge of the Jewish history and the promises of God. So all we can do is say, well, you know, these were pretty wise men. They were smart. They were intelligent. They were educated. They were astronomers. By studying the stars, it would have been understandable that they were attracted by that bright star in the west, and they would have sought its meaning. So coming from the area of Babylon or Ur, it would have been possible that they were influenced by the Jewish scriptures, that they would have known things. It would also help to explain why they were familiar with some of the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament, like Numbers 24:17, which says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel, and batter the brow of Moab, and destroy all the sons of tumult. But besides of what they may have known, the Bible tells us that they saw a unique star. That we don't know exactly what that looked like. There's been people that said, well, that was just the planets lining up in a certain way that gave it a brighter look than all the other stars. But anyway, they followed it west. So when they finally arrived in Jerusalem, they decided to find out more, and they sought harder, and they ended up knocking on the door of the king to ask him. They wanted to find the baby who would be king. Now, can you imagine being the king and having somebody knock on your door and say, "Oh, we want to worship the child that was born to be the king." Yeah. I'm sure Herod had problems with that. So they first met with Herod anyway, and they asked where the king of the Jews was to be born. He didn't know, although he should have. But he gathered his high priests and the scribes and that together to search the scriptures to see what the scriptures said. And they found that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. So he told the wise men, and they went. Then as they set out for Bethlehem, the star that they were following reappeared and led them down the road to Bethlehem. When they got to Bethlehem, they found Jesus, the baby king, the one that they were seeking, the one that they followed that star for, the one that they had knocked on the door of the king of Israel, that is, to find out more. And they worshiped him, and they gave him gifts. Gifts that they had brought with them. See, they knew before they left that they were going to be worshiping a king. So they brought gifts that were worthy of a king. And afterwards, God warned them in a dream that they shouldn't go back and tell Herod. So they headed home and they avoided the king, which probably made the king even more mad. But, you know, there must have been more to the story since it's in the Bible, so we have to dig a little deeper in God's Word to find out, you know, what more is in there. Things that God wants us to learn about the wise men. Because we need to be wise in our search for the Lord. We need to be wise in our preparation to help other people search for the Lord. So one thing is that we can learn that the scriptures will lead us to Jesus. Now, for most of us, it's that, duh, we know that. But have we really found him? Do we really know that for sure? You know, we can't be totally sure that the wise men were familiar with the scriptures. That's only suspected that they were because of the way things were. But one thing we do know is that it was the scriptures that led them to Jesus. Because they went to King Herod first. And it was the scriptures that they found that led them to Bethlehem. The priests and the scribes, they read them the scriptures, and then they sent them on their way to Bethlehem. Verse 6, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." You know, today the scriptures are still leading people to Jesus. If only people will read them. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Acts 4:12, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." John 6:37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." So when we have Jesus, we have eternal life with him. From the moment we accept him, through the rest of eternity. And what little bit of life we have left here on earth is only a moment in time. Yet we get so caught up with that moment in time that seems to take precedence in our future. And yet it really shouldn't. The Bible is God sharing His story with us. That's what He wants us to learn from that. His story. And it points us to the way. The way to come to Him. And Jesus tells us that that is Him, Jesus. That there's the only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. The scriptures led the wise men to Jesus. And when they got close, they were overcome with exceedingly great joy. Are we overcome with exceedingly great joy when we come into Jesus' presence? Hopefully when we really do, we will be. But what about now? If we've accepted Jesus, you know, every time we come to church, we ought to be overcome with exceedingly great joy. Because not only are we in the presence of Jesus, but we are together with each other, brothers and sisters in Christ. And we ought to be lifted up. And through all of that, that ought to just permeate our worship. So that all of it, even in the hard prayers that we have to ask, we still have that joy, knowing that we are lifting them up to our Lord and Savior. They searched for hundreds of miles. They asked about the baby. And when they knocked on the king's door, they were told where to find him. You see, if we will just ask and seek and knock, all that God has for us will be open to us. He won't hold anything back. But we need to ask the right things. How do we know what the right things are? It's in His story. If we will read His story to learn what those right things are, then we won't have any problems. But when we don't really read, or we don't read to learn, is when we get ourselves in trouble. Because we don't mature. We don't progress in our relationship with Him. The moment the wise men walked into the stable, they saw what they traveled so far to see. The moment you truly accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, you will see what you're missing in this world. You'll see that great light. And that light will be passed on to you so that you can pass that light on to others. And that's what Jesus means by do your good deeds before men so that they see your light and they glorify God in heaven. And we'll be glorifying God in heaven with them. There He was, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And they couldn't help but fall on the ground and worship Him. You know, we talk about standing before the Lord, but really, I think we know in our hearts that the moment we stand in His presence, we're going to fall on our knees. We're not going to have to think about it. We're not going to have to work at it. It's going to happen. We're just going to know that's the thing to do. And no matter what our physical condition was, we're not going to have to worry about that as we get down and we praise Him. We need to remember that the Scripture says every knee will bow. Every knee. There is no one worthy of standing in the presence of the Lord. And so this is how we will be when we come before Him. And we will, like many others, be on our knees worshiping Him. Now I can't say we'll be on our knees worshiping Him for eternity. Because I got a suspicion that He'll have things for us to do. And that may require us to be more mobile than it would take to be on our knees. But whatever it takes, He will provide all of that for us. We won't have to think about it. It'll just happen. Because it's who He is. And that's what Christmas should bring out in the spirit that we have as we're out and about. You know, I don't know about you, but too many times I go out shopping when I do, and I just don't want to be there. Outside of yard work, shopping is the next thing I dislike the most. The hustle and bustle of things, people bumping in and pushing and shoving and that. I have a hard time expressing my joy. But we need to, because we need to let that joy be passed on for all of those others like me that are out there mumbling and grumbling because they have to do things they don't want to do. People need that. They need that joy at this time of the year. Do we feel that when we look into the manger? Do we truly get that joyous feeling that that's our Savior? That's the one that we worship. That's the one that is going to come back to take us to be with Him. He is and always will be the Lord God Almighty, worthy of all our worship and praise. Not just then, but now, each and every day, even through the tough days, even through the days when we get real bad news, whatever it is, He's still Jesus. He's still our Lord. He's still our Savior. Nothing changes in that moment, just our hearts a little bit. And He knows that. And He probably is there with us, feeling our pain, our sorrow. But He'll take care of that. That's what He went to the cross for. Do our hearts light up when we come near Him? I'll bet you His heart lights up when we do. Everybody that'll come before Him, that has accepted Him for who He is, I'll bet you His heart lights up. I got a feeling when we do, our heart will light up like never before. If we've been reading the Scriptures like they have, we should know. We shouldn't have to wonder. You know, nothing stood between the wise men and Jesus in their quest to find Him. They didn't let anything stop them. We shouldn't either. Not our dreams, our wants, not our jobs, really, not our families. And that doesn't mean that our families have to be cast out. It just means that they shouldn't come before us and the Lord. Nobody should. Nothing in this world should. Because nothing in this world is going to make it into heaven. We can't take it with us, neither can anyone else. We're not going to need it. You know, I've said before, why would we want to take some old, I don't know, broken down thing with us when we're going to be walking on streets of gold? You know, if God can use gold as pavement, why do we put so much value on so many things in our lives? They didn't let the distance, they didn't let the weather, they didn't let any uncertainty, not even the government, stop them. And when they arrived, the wise men brought their treasures to Jesus. Do we bring our treasures to Jesus when we come in to praise Him? If we don't, we still have time because we're here to get it right. So that when we do stand before Him or on our knees, we bring our treasures with us. The treasures of the things that we do in His name. The blessings that we might have been to someone else is also blessings to him. We don't have to worry about what our stature is going to be like when we get to heaven. We're going to be in his presence. You think we're going to care about where we stand, if we're in front of someone else, or if we're elevated above someone else or not? No, all of that's going to be immaterial. They give him their best. That's all he asks of us. Give him your best. As believers, nothing should stand in our way between us and our Lord. Nothing. Jesus is still worthy of our treasures of worship. And that'll be good enough for him if we truly worship him. His birth is still reason enough to rejoice. And sure, we celebrate over a month, but that's nothing compared to what we're going to celebrate when we get to heaven. We're going to be celebrating for eternity. If we can't get it right for a month, how are we going to make it for eternity, huh? For those who don't know him, just remember, there's still time for them. We can still help them find reason to seek him. Wisdom is the ability to discern, to understand what we've learned. And if we can apply that in our lives with God's Word, then we can share the truth of Jesus Christ with anybody, anywhere, anytime. The birth of Jesus means that we all have a way out from under our sins. Not just the sins we've already been forgiven for, but for the sins we might commit between now and then. And Scripture points the way. Romans 3:10 and 3:23 tell us that there is none righteous, no, not one. No one is excluded from that. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 10:9 and 13 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the mouth, or for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We don't have to question that. We don't have to doubt that anymore. John 3:16 and 17 tell us why. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Yes, he's our personal God, but he's also the God for everyone he created. And that's why we can't turn away from anybody. No matter what we know about them, no matter what they've done, no matter what they've done to us, we still need to be bigger than them in the Lord and be willing to take up our cross and go to them and share. People still need to know that Jesus is the only one who can save them. And he'll never turn away from them. Just understanding that has brought so many people to the Lord. Like the wise men, it is still wise for people to seek Jesus. And it will be up until the time that he returns. Because the moment he steps foot back on earth, there's no more opportunity for mercy. It's either your name is written down in the book of life, or it's not. And so you're either going to go to be with Jesus for eternity, or you're going to be separated from him for eternity. And that separation is not going to be a picnic. People also need to know that he is not looking for the powerful people, the affluent people, the smart people. And he's not looking for the rich or socially acceptable or scholarly. He's just looking for the people who understand that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That's it. That's what we have for us to accept and for us to share with other people until he comes back again. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for sending your Son to be that true light that we can follow, that leads us from our sin into your presence, that helps us through our times of agony and things that we think we've been defeated in, and giving us the victory over life for eternal life. And we thank you. Be with us during this Christmas week. Help us to be mindful of the opportunities that you may have already set up, that we would not just only say what your scripture says about you, but we would also live it. Live it for other people to see. Live it because we believe it. Be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.